Pox flushed, but held her peace as they walked the length of the hall. The alcove was deeper than it looked. The light was deceptive. Within it were two doors, both bronze. One had a design on it that reminded Pox of a tree. The other was covered with interlacement bands that enclosed many pointed stars. Messenian looked at her.
"Do you have any feelings about either of these? My own preference would be for the stars. Stars are sacred to elves."
Pox felt, in fact, a stubborn desire to use the door with the tree, but she felt no special menace from the other one. With Messenian grinning at her in such a smug way, she didn't want to press a mere preference. "That will do. I don't have anything against it, anyway." When Messenian simply stood there, she asked sharply, "Aren't you going to open it?"
"As soon as I figure out how. It's locked, spell locked. If you laid a hand on it, you'd be flat on your back. I'm surprised your intuition didn't tell you that."
Pox wondered herself, and thought that if her intuition worked on bigger things, they'd better pay attention to it. She said nothing, however, and as Messenian stood in apparent thought, she turned to keep watch on the rest of the room. When she looked the length of the room toward the dais, she thought she saw a faint glow around the doors there. She looked at the other doors in the hall. They looked the same. When she looked back at the dais, the glow was more definite. It had an irregular shape, and seemed to be coming from the joint between the doors, as if it were seeping through.
"Messenian!"
"What now?"
He turned to her angrily. Pox pointed toward the dais.
"I don't see—" "By the gods! What's that?"
"I don't know. I don't like it. Did you step up on the dais?"
"No! You yelled, and I may just have touched the lower step with my foot."
"I hope not. It's brighter now."
"So I see. I wonder if it's—" "Why, orphan, I'd better get this spell correct."
"What is it?"
"Not now, just watch. Tell me if it gets more than halfway down the hall."
"But what can I do to hold it back?"
"If it's what I think, nothing. Now let me work."
Pox turned to stare at the mysterious glowing shape, which grew slowly as she watched. It seemed to spread, widening itself to the width of the dais, and slowing its forward movement as it did so. At first, she had been able to see through it clearly, but as it grew and thickened, she could no longer see the doors behind it. She felt sweat crawling through her hair. Her intuition had been right, but what was this thing? Surely there was a way to fight it. Now it reached the forward edge of the dais. Pox could hear Messenian muttering behind her. She heard a faint sizzle, then a little pop. Messenian cursed softly and went back to muttering. The glowing shape extended along the front edge of the dais and began to grow taller. Slowly it filled the space above the dais, from the doors behind to the lowest step in front, rising higher and higher to the canopy that hung between the dais and the ceiling. When this space was full, the glow intensified again. It seemed more and more solid, as if it were a definite shape settling there. As it solidified, it contracted a little, no longer so regular. Just as Messenian's triumphant "Got it!" broke her concentration, Pox thought she could see the shape it was condensing toward.
"Come on, Pox, quickly!"
Messenian grabbed her arm to hurry her through the now open door and looked back.
"Great orphan, protect us! It is a—" "Come on!"
Pox tore her eyes from the glowing shape and darted through the door after Messenian. He waited on the other side and threw his weight against the heavy panel. As it swung closed, a curious hissing noise came from the hall they had left.
"Help me close it!"
Messenian looked as frightened as Pox had ever seen him. She too leaned on the door as Messenian fumbled for something in his pouch with one hand. It seemed reluctant to stay closed, as if pressure were on it from the other side.
"Don't let it come open," warned Messenian. "If that gets out, we're dead."
"What is it?"
"Not now. I'm trying to—"
Messenian grunted suddenly, and began to mutter in a language Pox didn't know. Suddenly Pox felt a great shove from the other side of the door.
"Blast! Wrong one!"
Messenian began muttering again, as Pox held the door with all her strength. She heard an abrupt click, and found that she needed no strength to hold the door. Messenian sighed.
"That should do it," he said. "I expect it will. You can let go now, Pox."
"What was that?" Pox noticed that Messenian still looked worried.
"I don't know how to explain it to you."
"Try."
"A sort of evil spirit, then. that can take solid form and attack any intruder. Elves preferred. It has many ways of attacking, all of them unpleasant. And a sword would be no use against it? Messenian laughed.
No.
Is it the thing we came to find? What's holding the other thing prisoner?
No, unlikely.
I fear, though, that it may be in league with it. This may prove harder than I thought, and we certainly can't risk returning this way to the surface. Unless we've destroyed that thing.
Pox felt better. Her intuition had been right after all, and as always, the joining of the fight roused her spirits. Messenian looked at her curiously.
Don't you understand? We can't destroy that, and we don't know any other way out. If what we're looking for is as bad or worse, we may never get out.
Pox grinned. I understand. We took the bait, and we're in the trap, and we don't even know the size of the trap. But they, Messenian, don't know the size of their catch. She drew her sword and looked along the blade for a moment. You managed to shut the door against that thing. I can deal with more fleshly dangers, and I've been in traps before.
Yes, but... Well, there's no help for it. We'd better keep moving. We want to be well away from that door if it breaks through.
They were in a short corridor, lit as the stairwell and hall had been, and ahead of them an archway gave into a larger room. Here, too, the floor was thick with dust. Pox led the way forward, sword out and ready. Messenian followed. The room had obviously been a kitchen. Not a stick of furniture remained, but two great hearths, blocked up with hasty stonework, told the tale of many feastings. On the left, a narrower archway led to another corridor. On their right, a short passage led to another room, just visible beyond it.
That should have been the cellar, said Messenian. I wonder if any of the wine is left.
Pox chuckled. After so long, it wouldn't be worth trying.
I suppose not. We'll go this way, then.
He gestured to the left. As they crossed the kitchen, Pox looked around for any sign of recent disturbance, but saw nothing.
Was that thing back there what drove the elves out? Asked Pox.
No, I don't think so.
Enough high elves together would be able to drive it away. It's... Well, you humans know of gods, don't you? Good and evil gods.
Of course. Pox glared back at him for an instant.
Do you know of the court of gods, their rankings and all that?
Pox shook her head. Gods are gods.
No. Poxenarian, they are not. Some are far more powerful than others. You should have learned that in Arrhenius, even as a soldier. You fought in Cybele, didn't you?
Yes.
And didn't you see the temple of the Master of Torments there? I heard it was sacked.
Pox shivered as she remembered the assault on Cybele. I was knocked out, she said. I didn't see it.
Well, you've heard of the Web Mistress?
Of course, but what...
Liart? The Master of Torments, and that other... They're both fairly low in the court of evil. Between the least of the gods and the common evils of the world, there are still beings... They have more power than any human or elf, but not nearly so much as a god.
Pox was suddenly curious. What about the heroes and saints, like Gerd and Pargon?
Who knows? They were humans once. I don't know what, if anything, they are now, but that creature, Pox, is more powerful than any elf, and yet is far below the gods, our gods, the gods of elves.
The corridor they traveled curved slightly to the left. Pox glanced back and saw that the kitchen entrance was now out of sight. Ahead was a doorway blocked by a closed door, this one of carved wood. As they neared it, Pox noticed that the dust on the floor was not nearly so deep. Their footsteps began to ring on the stone and echo off the stone walls. She wondered what had moved the dust. Messenian, when she pointed it out, looked around and shook his head.
I don't know. Draft under that door, possibly.
Underground? Pox remembered that she didn't know much about underground construction and put that thought aside. She moved as quietly as possible toward the door. In the cool white light of the corridor, its rich red and black grain and intricate carving seemed warm and alive. She reached out to touch it gently. It felt slightly warm under her hand.
That's odd. It's...
The door heaved under her hand. Pox jumped backward, just in time to avoid a blow as it swung wide. Facing them were several armed humans in rough leather and woolen clothes. The leader grinned.
"Here's our bonus, lads," he said. "The ears off these'll give us something to show the Lord."
Pox had her sword in motion before he finished. His boast ended in a howl of pain. She took a hard blow on her shield and dodged a thrust meant for her throat. Behind her, she heard Messenian draw, then the ring of his blade on one of the others. The noise brought two more fighters skidding around the corner ahead to throw themselves into the fight. Pox and Messenian fought almost silently. They had no need for words. Pox pressed ahead, finding the attackers to be good but not exceptional fighters. She had the reach of most of them, and she was as strong as any. Messenian yelped suddenly, breaking her concentration. As she glanced for him, a hard blow caught her in the side. She grunted, grateful for the chain shirt she wore, and pushed off from the wall to skewer her opponent. Messenian's arm was bleeding, but he fought on. Pox shifted her ground to give him some respite. She took a glancing blow on her helmet that gashed her forehead as it passed. She could feel the blood trickling down toward her eye. Messenian lunged forward, flipping the sword away from one of their attackers. Pox downed the man with a blow to the face. They advanced again. The other attackers seemed less eager. Finally, only two were still fighting. The others, dead or wounded too badly to fight, lay scattered on the corridor floor. Pox expected them to break away and flee, but they didn't. Instead, they fought doggedly on until she and Messenian managed to kill them. Chapter 5 Pox leaned against the wall, breathing heavily. Her side ached, and she could feel a trickle of blood running down the side of her face. Her shield had broken. She pulled the straps free and dropped the pieces. Messenian had ripped a length of cloth from his tunic and was wrapping the wound on his arm. As he moved, she caught a glimpse of the bright mail under his outer clothing.
"If I'd known you wore mail," she said finally, "I wouldn't have worried so much. I was sure you were being skewered."
Messenian glanced up.
"I nearly was. Why, Orphan, you're a good fighter in trouble. I wouldn't have made it alone, even with mail."
He looked at her more closely.
"You're bleeding. Is it bad?"
"I don't think so. Just a cut on the head, and they always bleed. A mess." Pox swiped at her face with her free hand and found the cut itself, a shallow gash near the edge of her helmet.
"Here."
Messenian sheathed his sword and came over.
"Let me clean that out."
Pox looked at the bodies on the floor as he wiped out the cut with something from a jar in his pack. It burned, but the bleeding stopped. The bodies did not move this time. When Messenian finished, she pushed herself off the wall, grunting at the pain in her side, and wiped her sword clean on the dirty cloak of the nearest enemy. She wished they could stop and rest, but she distrusted the flavor of the air down here.
"I suppose we ought to keep going," she said,
half hoping that Messenian would insist on rest and food.
"Definitely. Whatever set these guards will know soon enough that they've passed them. If we're to have any surprise at all, we'll have to go on. Why? Are you hurt?"
"No."
Pox sighed. "Bruised, but no more. I wish we were out of here."
"As do I."
Messenian gave a short laugh.
"I begin to think that my elven relatives have more wit than I gave them credit for. They may have been right to tell me that I would find more trouble here than treasure."
But along with her fear and loathing of the underground maze in which they were wandering, Pox felt a pull of excitement. In a corner of her mind, she saw herself telling this tale to Vic and Arnie in an inn somewhere. She checked her sword for damage, finding none, and turned to Messenian. He nodded his readiness, and she set off carefully, sword ready. They passed an open door, into an empty room on their right, and another like it a few feet down on the left. Ahead of them, the corridor turned again. Pox looked at Messenian, and he shrugged. She flattened against the wall and edged forward to the turn. She could hear nothing. She widened her nostrils, hoping for a clue to what lay ahead. Her own smell, and Messenian's, overwhelmed her nose. Finally, with a mental shrug, she peeked around the corner. An empty corridor, its dusty floor scuffed and disturbed. Four doorways that she could see in the one quick look she allowed herself. A crossing corridor a short run ahead.
"Do you have any of your feelings about any of this?"
asked Messenian, when she described what she'd seen.
"No, not really. The whole thing feels bad, but nothing in particular."
nor can I detect anything. I wish our friend, who wants our help, would give us some guidance.
Pox felt around in her mind to see if anything stirred. Nothing but a faint desire to get moving. She sighed. Let's go, then. The doors that opened off the corridor were all of wood. All bore the scars of some sort of fire. One gaped open. They could see into a small room with stone shelves built into the walls. At the cross corridor, Pox took one corner and Messini in the other. To the right, her way, the corridor ended in a blank stone wall perhaps 50 paces away. To the left, it opened after perhaps 30 paces into a chamber whose size they could not guess. Messinian cocked his head that way, and Pox began to edge along the wall of the cross corridor toward the chamber door. Messinian stayed where he was. As she neared the opening, Pox felt a wave of confidence. Surely they were going the right direction. Messinian was being too cautious, as usual. She hesitated only a moment before putting her head around to see what the chamber was like. Here, for the first time, she saw something not desolate and ruined. The floor, laid of pale green and gold stone blocks, had been swept clean of dust, so that the pattern was clearly visible. At the far end of the chamber, a great ring of candles seemed to hover in midair. After a moment, Pox realized that they were attached to a metal framework suspended from a chain that ran to a ring bolt in the high ceiling. Candlelight warmed the cool white light of the corridors to a friendlier hue. In that warm glow, on a brilliantly colored carpet, stood a tall figure robed in midnight blue. Its face was subtly like Messenian's, and yet different. Pox knew at once that she stood in the presence of an elf of high rank. Along the far wall of the chamber stood several motionless figures clad in rough garments of gray and brown, like poor servants. Pox looked at the elf's face. Its bones showed clearly under the skin, yet with no sign of age or decay. The eyes were a clear, pale green. She felt no fear, though she was fully aware of the elf's power, so much greater than Messenian's. The elf's wide mouth curved in a smile.
"Welcome, fair warrior. Was your companion too frightened to come so far with you?"
Pox shook her head, uncertain how to answer. She had the vague thought that no elves should be here. But perhaps this was the person they had come to help. She could not seem to think clearly. The elf was not frightened of her, and did not seem angry. And elves were, if uncanny, at least not evil. As she thought this, she realized that she was walking forward, moving out into the chamber.
"Excellent," the elf continued. "I shall be glad to receive you both into my service."
He gestured to the line of servants.
"You see how few I have, and you have just killed some of my best fighters. It is only fair that you take their place."
Pox found her voice at last. "But, sir, I have a deed to perform before I can take service with another." She tried to stand still. Her feet crept forward, despite her efforts. She knew she should be afraid, but she could feel nothing.
"Oh?"
The silvery elven voice was amused.
"And what is that?"
Pox found it difficult to say, or even think. A confusion of images filled her mind. The Halveric's face, as he handed her a sealed packet. The Duke's parting words. The images of victory and glory that had come in the dream of the night before. She had advanced to the edge of the carpet. This close to the elf, she noticed a distinct, slightly unpleasant odor. Even as her nose wrinkled in distaste, the odor changed, becoming spicy and attractive. She drew a deep breath.
"Now,"
the elf began, but at that moment, Messinian cried out from the far end of the chamber.
"Pox, what are you—"
Only for a moment, those green eyes shifted from Pox, then the elf chuckled.
"Well, so your companion finally gathered his courage. Stand near me, fair warrior, and show him your allegiance."
And Pox stepped onto the soft carpet and stood silent beside the elf, unable to move or speak. She could just see Messinian from the corner of her eye. The elf went on.
"You think yourself a mage. I understand. You have scarcely the powers to match me, cross-bred runt."
Messinian reddened.
"You don't know what I might have—" he began. If you had any abilities I need worry about, you'd not have walked into this trap. You sensed nothing. At the last turn, you said so.
Messenian glared and slid his hand stealthily under his cloak. The elf nodded.
Go ahead. Try your little spells if you wish. It won't do any good, nor will that wand. But try it if you like.
He laughed.
Do you not even wish to know who it is that you face, little mage? Are you in the habit of loosing spells on chance-met strangers?
We are not chance-met, I fear, said Messenian. He came forward a short distance, then stopped. And if I cannot put a name to you, still I have a good idea what you are.
What? And not who? What erudition? And what makes you think I cannot charm you to obedience, as I did your delightful companion here?
Messenian smiled in his turn.
Charm a mage? You well know what that would get you. If you would use me as a mage, you need my mind unclouded.
But not unbroken, little one. Remember that. Messenian bowed, as arrogantly as Pox had ever seen him.
Yet a pebble, he said. Maybe harder to break than a pine, though insignificant beside it.
Are you to quote dwarvish proverbs to me? The elf sounded slightly less amused than before. Pox, listening to all this, could scarcely pay attention to it. Her mind seemed to float at a slight distance. Messenian bowed again, even more elaborately. As he rose, he made a complicated movement of his right hand and said a few words Pox did not understand. But she heard the hiss of breath indrawn beside her as the elf gasped. Before he could move, she felt a wave of nausea and fear. She whirled, sword at ready, before she even knew she could move. Where she had seen elven beauty, she now saw the ruin of it, and the stench stung her nose.
Pox!
Shouted Messenian. He was cut off by a great shout from the elf. A blast of energy poured down the chamber. Pox thrust at the elf, but her sword met another in his hand.
Cross blades with me, will you?
The green eyes blazed. Pox tore her gaze from them to watch the sword hand.
No human has skill to match an elf, and I am no common elf.
Indeed, the first ringing strokes revealed his ability. Pox fought on a rising wave of anger. Elves were never evil. Ha! She avoided a quick trapping ploy and thrust again. The tip of her blade seemed to hesitate an instant that let the enemy escape. She pressed on furiously. Messenian had probably been killed by the blast, or disabled. But he had won her freedom from whatever spell had bound her. She would fight to the end and show this creature what human skill could do. Again and again she managed to slip aside from a deadly blow, and just as often her own attacks fell short. Sweat rolled down her ribs, and she heard herself grunting with every stroke. The elf did not seem to tire. The same smile curved his lips, the same arrogance arched his brows. Now her wrist began to ache, as he used every advantage of height and reach. She was usually taller than those she drilled with. She was not accustomed to adjusting to a longer reach. One of his blows fell true. The force of it drove her to one knee. She felt the links of mail sink into her flesh. She barely ducked the next blow and staggered back. She wanted to look for Messenian, but dared not. The elf's smile widened.
You are outclassed, human fighter,
he said lightly.
You are quite good for a human, but not good enough. But look at my eyes and acknowledge me your lord, and this can end.
Pox shook her head, as much to clear it as to refuse. Was that a movement behind the elf? She lunged again, her blade struck, but she narrowly avoided his. He seemed not to notice her blow. Suddenly a bit of hot wax fell on her face. As quick as the thought that followed, almost before she knew what she meant to do, Pox leaped high, grabbing the framework the candles were set on with one hand, and jerking her legs away from the elf's astonished stroke. The frame swung wildly, spattering them both with wax. With one arm over the ring, Pox swung at the elf from above. He grabbed at her leg and missed as she kicked out. She heard a squeal from above and glanced up to see the ring bolt slipping from the ceiling. She threw herself to one side, trying to clear the frame as it fell. The elf, pursuing, was struck. Before he could free himself from the ring, Pox attacked. Hampered by the framework and the candles, which caught his robe afire, he parried her blows weakly.
And then Messenian came up, panting and pale, and threw the whole of their oil supply on the elf. Pox jumped back as the candle flames flared on this fuel. A foul stench filled the chamber, and a black cloud swirled up from the fire, denser than smoke. Pox felt a wave of cold enmity that sent her staggering to her knees. The flames roared, now more blue than any fire of oil could be. Air rushed into the chamber, whistling round the corners. Pox realized that Messenian was tugging at her arms, pulling her away. She could hardly move. She managed to look around and saw that the others in the room, the servants, were shuffling out a door in one corner as fast as they could. When the flames died down, Pox still crouched helplessly where Messenian had dragged her. The elf's body had not been consumed in the fire, though it was horribly blackened, and all the clothing was gone. Messenian stood by it, frowning. Pox tried several times before she could speak.
"What's wrong? He's dead, isn't he?"
"I wish I knew. That kind of power. It was some spirit of evil, Pox, that took over the body of an elf, of an elf lord, and the body is here still. I wonder if he is dead, truly. I've heard tales of such."
Pox didn't want to move. Every muscle hurt. She managed to flex her hand, and found she still held her sword. She took a deep breath, which also hurt, and forced herself to her feet. She felt as if her legs and body were only loosely connected. Another deep breath. It was hard to believe that she and Messenian were still alive, and the elf was dead. Or dead in some way. She walked over to see.
"Your magic has done well so far, Messenian. We wouldn't be here without it. Can't you do something to make sure he stays dead?"
For once, Messenian did not seem complacent.
"No," he said soberly. "That's beyond my abilities. I wish my old master were here. We are fortunate that he chose a simple spell to bind you. Perhaps he wanted to have plenty left for me, or perhaps he had more in use than we know, but now..."
"Couldn't we put a stake through his heart?"
"What do you think he is, a Quarren witch? Are you thinking of dragging his corpse to a crossroads, too?"
Pox flushed.
"I don't know. I just remembered some old stories."
"That won't work for him. Whatever took him over won't be withheld by any simple measures."
"We could..."
Pox swallowed hard, then went on.
"We could cut...
dismember him."
"You? I? I know what you would think of such. As for me, I tell you, Pox Anarion, I don't even wish to touch that corpse, if corpse it is. Nor should you. That power may still dwell in it, and could reach out to us. You see that the body was not consumed by the fire as it should have been. The skin is blackened, but unblistered."
"Well then, do we wait to see what comes of it, or what?"
Messenian shook his head.
"I don't know. I wish I knew a spell to free this body from whatever power holds it so."
"But since elves are immortal, do their bodies burn or decay?"
"Elves do not die of age alone, but they can, as you saw, be killed. And yes, their bodies can burn or decay or return to earth in many ways."
Pox shifted her shoulders, easing the stiffness. Suddenly she was hungry and thirsty. She put up her sword and fumbled to unhook her water flask. After a couple of swallows, she felt much better.
"It's too bad," she said, "that you don't know what's in that fancy scroll you're so proud of."
Messenian scowled and opened his mouth for a quick retort, then paused.
"I never thought of that," he said. "I wonder if..."
And he rummaged around inside his tunic until he came out with the tooled scroll case Pox had commented on.
"It's difficult,"
he went on, as he flicked off the lid and slid the scroll out.
"You remember? I told you how expensive it was."
Pox nodded.
"Thing is, a magical scroll, one that has on it a workable spell, can be written only by a magician who can cast the spell without it. I don't know why. It seems a silly rule, and it certainly gives far too much power to men who do nothing but study, but there it is. Usually, a scroll belongs to the man who wrote it, or to someone he trusts. His journeyman, say, or a brother mage. He knows which scroll is which,
or he sets his private mark on each, and all's well. But for someone who comes across one of these scrolls, far away from the person who wrote it, it's difficult to tell what it is without reading it.
Then read it, said Pox, gnawing on a slab of dried meat. It was delicious.
You can read.
Of course I can read. That's not the point. That's how it's used, by reading it. If I read it, whatever it is happens.
Oh, so there's no way to peek?
Messenian allowed himself to look amused.
No, not that I ever heard of. There are a lot of teaching tales for young apprentice magicians that tell of attempts to peek and what happened afterwards.
No, I must decide by examining all the marks on the outside of the scroll and by my own abilities whether it's worth chancing that the spell or spells on it will do us any good.
He peered at the scroll itself, then at the case, and then back at the scroll.
I might just take a look into the corridors, said Pox casually, in case someone is coming.
Good idea. Then you'll be out of range if something does happen.
Pox had not realized that Messenian would find her motive so obvious. She said nothing, but looked into the corridor, diagonally opposite that from which she'd entered the chamber. This was the way the servants had left. She could see no one before the corridor turned, some 20 paces away. She looked back at Messenian. He was still examining the scroll, but he looked up at her and nodded.
Go on, not too far. I think I'll try one of these. For what I paid for them, they should be fairly powerful.
Pox went on as far as the turn. It seemed a long time before he called, a high, excited yell. Pox swept out her sword and ran back to the chamber. She was just in time to see a blue flare lance to the ceiling from the elf's body. A dry clatter brought her eyes back to the floor. Bones lay scattered there, and as she watched, they crumbled to dust. A draft scattered the dust. She looked up to meet Messenian's eyes. He was pale and trembling.
It worked, she said unnecessarily.
Yes, it...
Why, orphan, I'm tired. That, even reading it, that was beyond my powers.
He reeled, and Pox moved quickly to catch him before he fell. He lay some time unmoving. She could feel a pulse beating in his neck, so she folded her cloak under his head and let him rest. Sometime later, he opened his eyes and blinked.
What? Oh, yes, that.
Silently, Pox offered him water and food. He took a long drink and shook his head at the food. After another swallow, he rolled up to a sitting position and shook his head sharply.
Do you think, Messenian, that that creature was what we came here to fight?
Pox had been worrying about this. If it were the servant of some greater evil, she had little hope of escape.
I think so. That was a considerable power. If it had chosen a better spell for you, or been more practiced at swordplay, we wouldn't be here.
Then what were we to free? The elf's body? That couldn't have called us. What else is there?
Messenian rubbed his face with both hands. No, you're right. We haven't been greeted with cries of joy and armfuls of rewards, have we? Something still to be done by Orphan. I don't know if I can manage any more spells today.
Maybe you won't need to. If whatever it was is trapped somewhere, all we need to do now is find it.
I hope it's that easy.
Messenian stood up, swaying slightly at first.
I just had a thought. I hope whatever it is wasn't trapped in a jewel or something worn by the elf. Some magicians do that sort of thing. If so, we're out of luck.
If only we get out of this, said Pox, we'll be in luck.
True. Did you see anything down that corridor?
No, nothing. Pox was never afterwards sure what had guided their choice, with so many ways to go and no knowledge. At first, as they walked the bare stone corridor, Messenian continued to eat, reaching out now and again to touch the walls, as if for balance. Then the corridor sloped down, and he paused.
Wait.
Messenian's face, when Pox turned, was grim. He pulled out his own sword and tested the balance.
I sense something.
Not that thing in the winter hall. Messenian shook his head.
No, not so dire as that. But it's as if my blood tingled. Some enemy is below and coming nearer.
Pox looked around for a good place to fight. The corridor was slightly too wide for two to hold.
We'd better go on then and hope for something we can use.
Messenian nodded and came up beside her as they started off again.
Don't you want to stay back and prepare your spells?
I told you, I can't do that again today. I'd never be able to cast a simple fire spell, let alone anything useful.
The corridor turned right and continued downward. Pox felt edgy. She was increasingly aware of the weight of stone and earth above her. She found herself whispering words from a Fulani marching song. Messenian looked at her curiously, and she blushed and fell silent. Suddenly, Pox caught a foul whiff that stopped her short.
What's that?
Messenian looked eager.
Ah, I might have known. Orcs, that's what. They would move in when the elves were driven away.
Orcs?
Pox had heard of orcs. They had raided Three Firs in her great-grandfather's day, but she had not expected to meet any.
Ugly but cowardly, said Messenian briskly. If that was their master, they'll want nothing better than escape. They won't be looking for experienced fighters like us.
If they want to escape, we can let them, suggested Pox.
Let orcs loose? Are you crazy? They're disgusting, vermin, killers, filthy.
How many are likely to be in a group?
Pox didn't care how disgusting they were. Enough orcs could kill them.
Oh, not more than 7 or 8. We can handle that many. I killed 3 by myself one time.
But Messenian...
Pox Anarian, I've seen you fight, remember? We have nothing to worry about. If we can handle that thing up there...
He jerked his head back where they'd been.
We can handle a few orcs. Trust me. Haven't I been right on this so far?
I still think we should wait until we know how many there are. What if there's 20? Let's find a hiding place and...
Where?
Pox looked around. Ahead, the corridor turned again 20 paces away, still going down. They had passed no doors for the last 200 paces. She shrugged and went on. Around that corner the stench was stronger. Trash littered the floor. Pox looked for some place to hide. Halfway to the next turn, a doorway shadowed one wall. They had nearly reached it when they heard a harsh voice from somewhere ahead. Pox darted forward. The doorway was an empty gap opening into a tiny bare room. She grabbed Messenian's arm and pulled him in. He glared at her, but said nothing as the voice came nearer in the corridor. The first orcs were uglier than Pox had imagined. Greasy leather armor covered their hunched torsos. Long arms banded with spiked leather hung nearly to the floor. The first carried a curved blade, badly nicked along the inner curve, and the second dragged a spear short enough to use in the corridor. Pox noted the spare knives in sheaths on both hips and helmets that came low over the nose. Behind the first pair came another, whose voice they had heard. It wore a filthy fur cloak over its armor and carried a spiked whip as well as a sword. Whatever it was saying to the others must have been unpleasant, for the spear carrier turned suddenly and growled back at it. Pox flattened herself into the angle of wall away from the door and hoped the orcs would quit arguing and go on. Messenian, however, leaned toward the door. She realized suddenly that he was about to go out and attack. He looked back at her and cocked his head at the door. If he attacked them and was killed, they'd be sure to look in the room. Pox cursed the stupidity of all magicians and moved to the other side of the door, sword ready.
It's only 3, hissed Messenian. We can take them easily.
Pox hoped so. The argument outside grew even louder. At least they could surprise the orcs. She took a deep breath and crouched. Now! Her first blow caught the third orc low in the thigh. His leg was harder than she'd expected, but she got her sword back and he went down bellowing. Messenian had gone for the spear carrier and missed. The other sword-bearer took one wild swipe at Messenian's head, then turned to Pox. The orc she had wounded flung its whip at her sword, and she dropped the tip just in time. The orcs moved faster than she'd expected. She parried the curved blade on one side and danced back from the wounded orc's whip. Messenian was trying to get past the guard of the spear carrier. She didn't envy him. Once out of reach of the wounded orc, She found fencing with the other one strange, but not as hard as she'd feared. Its reach was almost as long as hers, but low. It couldn't match her height. She had little trouble defending herself. Attack was harder. Her overhead blows fell on heavy armor. Pox abandoned that tactic and tested its quickness. Perhaps she could get behind it. She heard a yelp from Messenian, then a guttural command from the fallen orc. When she looked, Messenian was fencing left-handed, shaking blood from his right hand. That was the second wound to that arm. She attacked her own orc with sudden ferocity and made a lucky stab under the right shoulder. The orc fell, snarling, and stabbed at her legs. Pox skipped back and ran to Messenian's opponent. He could not use a spear in two directions at once. Pox ran him through when he thrust at Messenian. But before they could do anything about the first orc she had wounded, it was bellowing even louder.
"Gods above!" gasped Messenian. "There's more of them!"
Pox heard the clamor almost as he spoke.
"Which way?"
"I don't know, I—"
He stared wildly around.
"Here."
Pox ripped a length of cloth from his cloak and wrapped it around his arm.
"If we've got more to fight, you don't need to be dripping like that."
She still could not tell where the sound came from. The corridor echoed confusingly.
"We'll go down," said Messenian suddenly.
"Down? But—"
"Come on!"
He whirled away from her and strode down the corridor. The noise was much louder. Pox looked after him an instant and ran to catch up.
"How do you know they're not—"
But Messenian wasn't listening. He hurried ahead, and again she had to stretch her legs to catch him.
"Messenian!"
She caught at his arm as he neared the next turn. It was too late. From around the turn erupted a wild band of orcs, stinking and dressed in filthy leather armor. Before she could guess how many they faced, she was engulfed in a deadly lacework of iron. Swords, knives, and axes swung around her. The harsh clamor of their voices and the ring of blades filled her ears. All she could see was weapons and armor. Then she realized that Messenian was nearby, fencing with skill she had not suspected. That slender blade he bore had more strength than she'd thought.
"This way, Pox!" he yelled.
He seemed to be edging ahead, still, and downward. Pox grunted and lunged toward him, taking a solid blow in one side as she came away from the wall. She felt the rings of her chainmail shirt dig into the same place she'd been hit earlier, but it held whatever blade that was. She caught one orc under the chin and dodged another. The place swarmed. She saw a doorway now, and another doorway, and orcs in both. She slipped on something underfoot and staggered. Luckily, they couldn't all reach her at once, and she hacked on, grimly determined to kill as many as she could before they killed her. She couldn't see Messenian. Suddenly the orcs gave way in front of her, and she plunged through them to find herself in a circular chamber. In front of her, Messenian lay face down as he had fallen, an axe standing out of his back. Beyond his body was a focus of light that changed color as she looked. She whirled to face the orcs. They blocked the doorway, grinning and muttering. One of the rear of the mass yelled out, and they started toward her. She gave one quick glance to the chamber, no other door, and entirely too many orcs. No hope of winning through them all. She took a deep breath and laughed, at peace with her fate. Afterwards, she was never sure how she came to move into the light. As the orcs came forward, she ran to fight them over Messenian's body. They were too many, and pressed her back and back again. Someone or something was calling her, wanted her to do something, but she had no time, no hands, for anything but the fight. As in a dream, she felt one ragged blade catch her arm, and another stabbed deep into her leg. Orc stench choked her nose. She gasped for breath, with a sudden memory of the young soldier in her first battle, a wry grin for the girl who would never get home. Back and back again, a step at a time. She kept expecting a blow from behind, but it never came. Her arm felt heavy and clumsy. Her sword slid off an orc helmet as the dagger in her left hand parried another blade. She took a deep breath. Her last, she thought, and lunged hard at the orc in front of her. She could not reach him. He stood as close as her own arm, but his sword, thrusting at her, jabbing wildly, touched her not at all, nor hers, him. And a pressure filled her head, as if a river poured itself in one side and found no outlet. She felt herself falling under that pressure, her hand loosening, losing its grip on the dagger. It was more picture than word. A hand, grasping. Pox stared at her own hand, open, as if it were reaching for something. Take this
thing.
The pressure moved her eyes. She looked as it directed and saw a blue, egg-shaped object. She could not tell how far away it was, or how big, or even what it was. She tried to frame a question. Instead, the command returned and filled her whole head. She felt it would burst.
Take it!
She reached toward the object and felt an unpleasant, oily sensation on the insides of her fingers, as if they were sinking slightly into it. But her hand closed around the object firmly. It felt disgusting in ways she could not describe and had never imagined. She would have dropped it, thrown it far away, but it clung to her hand. When she tried to open her fingers, they wouldn't move. All at once, she felt the pain of all her wounds, the exhaustion of all the fighting, a great heaving wave of sickness that seemed to cut her legs from under her. She tried to raise her sword for one last blow, and the pressure within suddenly burst out in a vast roar, a vibration so deep she felt it in her bones and hardly at all in her ears. The light was gone. Darkness churned around her. She caught a last confused glimpse of orcs screaming, falling stones, Messenian's body glowing blue as fire, then a deafening, whirling confusion. And silence. Chapter 6. When she managed to lift her head, she was lying on the turf near the well. The building they had entered had collapsed in a heap of stones. It was broad daylight, with the sun's warmth filtered through high clouds. Pox took a breath and sneezed. She felt stiff and sore, and it was hard to think what had happened. Her head felt empty. Her ears rang like a bucket. She looked at her hands, the one still cramped around the hilt of her sword, and the other empty, but with the feel of something filthy on it. She scrubbed it in the grass. Her eyes watered, and she swiped at them clumsily with her sword hand. She knew she should get up, but she wished she could lie there and rest forever. After a moment, sighing, she forced herself up, elbows, knees. She rested there for a bit. Her legs felt shaky and uncertain. She looked at her sword. Blood and dirt were caked on it. She shuffled on her knees to the well and took a handful of water to clean it. After a mouthful or two of that clear water, she began to feel more alert. The sword slid back in its scabbard sweetly. It feared nothing near. She looked around for the horses. Messenians had disappeared. That seemed right. Star grazed unconcernedly across the well from her. There were the packs, lying open outside the ruins of the little building. Whatever had happened there below was over. She could do nothing for Messenian now. She must go on. Even so, she might have sat beside the well for the rest of the day if something had not moved her. The pressure she had felt before seeped back into her mind. This time it was more delicate. She was aware of it as a separate being. There were thanks for her and Messenian. There were directions, specific and detailed. Slowly she rose to her feet, and slowly she gathered up her belongings. She wondered what to do with Messenian's things, and the being told her. This to the well, and that under a stone, and those to lie open on the grass for the wind and sun to play with. Star came to her quietly, and she tied her pack to the frame. Before she left, the being demanded one thing more. She was tired and found it hard to think, but the pressure gave her no ease until she obeyed. In that mound, through that gap, and take those things. She packed, vaguely aware that much of it was treasure. Weapons decorated with gold and jewels, coins, rings, and baubles. But why the scrolls? She didn't understand, but she obeyed, picking up what she was bid and stowing it away in Star's pack. As she worked, the clouds thickened overhead, and a chill wind rolled down from the mountains. She didn't notice. She felt no triumph, only a great tiredness. As she stumbled away on the narrow track she had been nudged to follow, the first dancing flakes of snow fell from the thickening clouds behind her. Soon a light dusting whitened the tops of the mounds in the valley, outlined the limbs of trees and clung to the cedars in little furry clumps. The clouds reached out, northwards, and gathered in the trail Pox had taken. Snow hung in the air around her, filling her lungs with its damp, clean smell. She hardly noticed. It was harder and harder to walk. Every step seemed to take the last of her strength, as if she were pulling her legs out of the ground. Her left hand still felt dirty, and she rubbed it on her trousers as she walked, without realizing it. Uphill. It was all uphill, trying to clear the ridge on the far side of the valley. Pox caught at Star's pack, clung to it, and the sturdy pony plowed on, through the deepening snow, ears flat and tail clamped down. Her left side caught the blast of wind off the mountains. Soon it was numb, and she stumbled, lurching into Star and then back, to fall face down in the snow. A wave of nausea swept over her, but she had nothing to heave. Her stomach cramped. She couldn't push herself up. She felt the snow on the back of her neck, and then nothing. In the darkness, the first elf mistook her snow-covered body for a drift of snow and stumbled over it. His muffled curse disturbed the pony, huddled in a thicket nearby, and she snorted. Quickly, the next elves found the pony and soothed her, whisking the snow from her back and running deft hands over the pack straps. Meanwhile, the first elf felt what was under the drift and called for more light. Torches flared in the windy darkness.
A human.
Contempt laced the silver voice.
A robber by the look of it.
Her,
said another, holding out the patched cloak.
Robber indeed, said one of the elves near Star. This little one is loaded with such treasure that she can hardly walk, and more than that, it comes from the Banast Teg.
Mother of trees! I had not thought even the humans bold enough to rob there, or skilled enough to escape.
The leader of the group looked at a dagger and sheath from the pack and shook his head.
With such to carry, it must not be escape, but something worse.
She is alive, said the first elf, after finding a pulse.
Not for long, said the leader. We may not be able to challenge that evil, but we can deal with its minions. We can leave.
Look at this,
said one of those going through the pack. He held out to the leader the sealed message from the Halveric.
Is this stolen as well?
We must know what we have here before we decide what to do, added the one at Pox's side. I feel no great evil in her.
He had brushed the snow off her, and now caught his breath as he saw the rings on her hand. He worked off the one with the Duke's seal and read the inscription inside.
This is no common robber, cousins. Here is a ring given for honor to a soldier of the Duke Phelan, Halveric's friend, and...
And we all know of Ciri Phelan, yes. If she did not steal that as well, we shall wake her then and see what she says. I doubt that any fair tale can be told resulting in such as this bringing treasure out of that Banast Teg, but we shall see.
Pox was vaguely aware of voices talking over her head before she woke fully. They were strange-sounding voices, musical and light, but carrying power nonetheless. Light glowed through her eyelids. She struggled toward it and finally managed to raise her heavy lids.
You waken at last, said one of the strange beings before her.
He turned to speak to another, and Pox saw torchlight play over the planes of his face. It was clearly unhuman, and in it she saw full strength, the strangeness that Messenian had shared. These must be elves. He looked back at her, his expression unreadable.
You were very cold. Can you speak now?
Pox worked her jaw around and finally managed to say yes, weakly.
Very well. We have many questions for you, human warrior. It would be well for you to answer truthfully. Do you understand?
Who are you? Pox had no idea of elven politics, if any.
Do you not know elves, human, when you see them?
I thought... elves... but who... Arched eyebrows rose up his forehead.
Do humans now concern themselves with the genealogy of elves, having so little themselves?
If you would know, then, I am of the family of Sialin.
Do you know what that means?
Pox shook her head.
Then you need know no more of my family. Who are you, and what lineage gives you the right to question elves?
Pox remembered now Messenian's pride, and how Basque had always said elves were haughty and difficult.
"I am Paxenarian Dorthan's daughter," she began, "of Three Firs, far to the north and west."
"Far, indeed," said one of the other elves. "I have seen that place, though not for many years. Is there a birch wood, a day's ride west of it, in the side of a hill?"
"I don't know, sir. I never traveled so far before leaving to join the Duke's company. Since then, I have never been home, or near it."
"Whose company was this you joined?"
"Duke Phelan's. He has a stronghold in northern Saya, and fights in Arrhenius."
"A red-haired man?"
Pox nodded, and the elf went on.
"This packet sealed by the Halveric in your baggage, how came you by that?"
"I was given it, by the Halveric, to take to his home." Even as she spoke, Pox felt the cold darkness rolling over her again. One of the elves exclaimed, and she felt an arm under her shoulders. A cold rim touched her lips, and fiery liquid trickled into her mouth. She swallowed. Warmth edged its way along her bones.
"Not too much of that," said the first elf who had spoken to her. "In case we must..."
He broke off and looked at her again.
"You have come to a strange place, soldier of Duke Phelan, and messenger of the Halveric. You have come to a strange place, and you seem, forgive me, weaker than I would expect such a soldier to be. Give us now an account of how you came here, and what you were doing in the valley of the Banast Teg."
Pox found it difficult to tell a coherent story. Events and places were tangled in her memory, so that she was hard put to distinguish the encounters of the last day or so from those in the Valley of Souls. Still, she managed to convey the call she and Messenian had received, and the outline of their adventures underground. The elves listened attentively, interrupting only to ask for clarification. When she finished, they looked at each other in silence. Then a burst of elven. It sounded to her like an argument. The leader turned to her again.
"Well, Paxenarian, Dorthan's daughter, you have told an unlikely tale, to be sure, yet on the chance that it is true, I am sending one of my party into the Banast Teg to find out. Should he not return, or return in jeopardy, it will go hard with you."
In the snowy darkness, Pox could not tell how long the elf was gone. She lapsed into a doze, hardly aware of her surroundings. She was roused by a hand on her shoulder.
"Awake, warrior. You will need this."
And a hot mug pressed against her lips. She swallowed, still half asleep, and found the taste strange but pleasant. Slowly, her drifting mind came back to her. She tried to sit up on her own, but was still too weak. The elves had pitched a shelter over her, and a tiny fire flickered in one corner under a pot.
"You still need healing," said the elf leader. "I admit surprise, Paxenarian. I would not have believed such a thing without proof. The Banast Teg freed to be the Elfane Teg again, and the pollution gone from its heart. We rejoice to know that, but you have taken more damage from that combat than you know. Humans cannot fight evil of that power unscathed. Without healing, you would die before daylight."
Pox could not think what to say. She felt weak and a little sick, but no worse than that. She had no idea what Banast Teg and Elfane Teg were. The being that had summoned them had never named itself to her. As the elf seemed waiting for something, she finally asked, "Did you find out about Messenian?"
"Messenian!"
It was very nearly a snort.
"That one! The Elfane Teg buried him cleanly with his orcish murderers. He is well enough."
"But he was an elf. Half-elf, I meant. I thought you would..."
"Messenian? A half-elf? Elf? Did he tell you that?"
Pox nodded, and the elf leader frowned.
"No, little one. He was not half-elven, not a quarter-elven either. He had so much elven as might your pack pony have of racing blood."
"But he said..." Pox broke off. It was hard to talk, and she realized that Messenian's behavior made more sense the less elven he was.
"He lied. What did he tell you, Paxenarian, to get you into that valley?"
"That his elven cousins denied him his rights to elven things, that he knew of treasure there that should be his."
Did he not warn you of evil at all?
Yes, but he said his magical talents could fight that. He needed a warrior for protection against physical things, like the orcs.
I see that you speak truly. I apologize, Poxenarian, for the untruth of this distant cousin. It shames me that any elven blood could lie so.
That's all right. Pox felt as if she were slipping down a long, dark slope.
No, by the gods of men and elves, we shall redeem the word of our cousin.
And the elf shook her again, lifting her up until she could drink from a cup one of the others held. The darkness crept back. The elven faces came back into focus. Then one of them laid his hand on her head and began to sing. She had never heard anything like that, and in trying to follow the song, she forgot what was happening. Suddenly she felt a wave of strength and health surge through her. The elf removed his hand and smiled at her.
Is that better now?
Yes, much better. Pox sat up and stretched. She felt well and rested, better than she'd felt in days.
Good. It will be day soon, and we must be going. We have much to say to you in the few hours left us.
The snow had stopped before dawn. A light wind tore the last clouds to shreds and let the first sunlight glitter on the snow. In daylight, the elves bade her farewell, and Pox saw their beauty clearly. She felt ashamed to have thought Messenian elvish-looking. One of them caught her thought and laughed, the sound chiming down the long slope.
No, don't be sorry, fair warrior. Your eyes saw truly to find what was there in so little. Remember what we have told you, and farewell.
And as she turned to climb the slope upward to the ridge and the trail the elves had spoken of, she felt far distant from the self of yesterday. She felt a surge of the same spirit that had sent her away from home in the first place, a sense of adventure and excitement. Anything might happen. Anything had happened. She still found it difficult to think clearly what it was, what nature of thing she and Messenian had fought against, and what had helped her at the end. The words Elfane Teig meant nothing to her. The elves' explanation meant very little more. But she was on a trail once more, alive and eager to be going. Star moved slowly, burdened heavily by the gifts of the Elfane Teig. Pox had transferred some of that to her own back. The pony snorted a little with each heave of her hindquarters. Pox grinned to herself. No more mountains, they had told her. These, that would have been mountains anywhere else, counted as foothills, and in another 2 days she would be in the gentler lowland slopes. On the far side of the ridge, only a few patches of snow whitened the trail, and by noon these had melted. Now other trees mingled with the pointed evergreens, duller greens, more rounded shapes. Pox did not need her cloak for warmth. She was alert for danger, but the elves had told her that they sensed nothing dire moving in the area. She hoped they were right. As far as she could see, the forested slopes wove into each other endlessly, the trail angling down one and up another, always edging west and north. Her solitary camp that night was almost too silent. She had resented Messenian's lectures, yet to sit alone in the middle of a vast wilderness was worse than anything he had ever said to her. She doused her tiny fire early and sat awake a long time staring at the stars. The night was half gone when she realized that she was missing more than Messenian. She had never in her life spent an entire night alone like this. Not even once had she slept outside, out of hearing or sight of others. The thought itself made her shiver, and she got up to check on Star. The pony's warm, rough mane reassured her. She looked at the stars again, her hands still tangled in Star's mane. The night sky seemed to go on forever, up and up, without ending, as if the stars were sewn on veils that lay one behind another. She looked for Tori's necklace. It was still behind the mountains. Of the other stars, she knew nothing. A breeze slid lightly along the ground, chilling her. Star moved away from her hand and lowered her head to graze. Pox went back to the blankets she'd laid out. A wild animal cried out in the distance. She stiffened, but no sound followed. Pox felt an urge to take out Kana's medallion. Her hand found her pouch before she thought. Her fingers touched it, smoothed the crescent shape. When she pulled it out, Sabin's little horse came along, The thongs were tangled. She woke stiff and cold in the morning, with Star nosing her face and the horse and crescent still clutched in her hand. That day warmed quickly. Pox looked over the whole treasure she had been given and made her first estimate of its value. She had not realized what she'd taken. It was too much. It shouldn't be hers. But she could not return to the Elfane Teg with it, that was certain. She thought the elves must have examined it as well, and if they said nothing about it. Sunlight glittered on the items she'd laid in the grass, the ruby-decorated dagger and sheath, the gold and jewel-inlaid battle axe, gold and silver coins, both familiar in stamp and strange, a set of chainmail that felt oddly light when she lifted it, and looked as if it would fit. She thought about that, looked around and tried it on. It did fit. Perfectly. Which made her scowl, thinking. Where had she heard of enchanted mail? Evil stuff. But when she reached for Kana's medallion, nothing happened. It felt easy in her hand. Was it dress mail, then? Good for nothing? She tried her own dagger on the sleeve, notching the dagger. Lightweight, the right size. She scowled again, but kept it on. Over it, she put on the best clothes she had. Not that any of them looked like much. She thought ruefully, remembering the money she'd spent in Sword to outfit herself. It was late when she started moving again, and she traveled slowly, as much for her own benefit as the ponies. She was beginning to wonder what she would find when she came out of the wilderness into settled lands again. The elves had been quite specific in their directions. Go to Brewer's Bridge, they had said, by this trail, and tell the Master Oakhallow and Marshal Diorcha about the Elfane Teg. But they would say no more about either Master Oakhallow or the Marshal, or why these would want to know about events so far away. As Poxenarian came around the slope of the hill, she could see cleared fields and orchards some miles ahead, their straight edges easily visible against the broken forest and meadowland. The track's gradient lessened as she descended. Sheep grazed on the slopes to her right, a bare-legged child with a crook watching them from a rock. Gradually, the track changed from rock to dirt. Star stepped out more easily. Pox lengthened her own stride to keep up. She saw smoke rising from the center of the cleared area. Perhaps it was the village the elves had spoken of. She wondered if the people were friendly. At least, it was the north again. Home. Soon she was among the fields and orchards. She had passed two farmsteads set back from the road. The farms looked prosperous. She noted tight barns, well-made stone walls, sleek livestock. A boy picking early apples from a tree near the track told her the village ahead was Brewer's Bridge. When she'd passed, she looked back and saw him running for the farmhouse. Now the track joined a lane, bordered on either side by a wall, wide enough for wagon traffic. She noted wheel ruts grooving the surface. On the right, a wedge of forest met the road. She could not tell how large it was. Ahead were a cluster of buildings and another road coming in from the right. Two cottages now on the left, one opening directly on the road. Beyond them was a large two-story building with a walled courtyard to one side. A bright green and yellow sign hung over the road, and a paved area fronted it. Pox squinted at the sign. The Jolly Pot Boy. It must be an inn. It was too big for a tavern. She looked around. The inn sat at the crossroad, facing north. The road Pox had come on continued generally west, wandering among houses and shops. The north road was straighter, with buildings along its west side and forest on the east. The ground floor of the inn had a row of tall windows facing the road. These were open, and Pox heard the murmur of many voices from inside. She wondered if she had enough money to stay there. The treasure, but she didn't know what it was worth, or if they would accept the old coin. As she hesitated, a stout man in a big apron came out and spoke to her.
Just arrived?
Yes, sir.
Will you be wanting a room?
I don't know, sir. How much are they?
A silver in the common loft. That includes bread and beer for breakfast. A gold crown for a private room, two for the suite. A silver a day for stabling, including grain, hay, grooming, and safe storage for your tack.
Pox thought a moment. It seemed high, but she had enough southern money for a night or two. She could always find a cheaper place the next day. Star could use a good bait of grain. I'd like a private room, she said, and stabling for Star.
That'll be in advance, please, said the man. I'm Joss Hebbenford, the landlord.
Pox wrapped Star's lead around her arm and dug into her belt pouch. Here. She handed over the money.
I'm Poxenarian Dorthan's daughter, from Three Furs. The landlord looked closely at the coins she had given him.
From Arrhenius? That's your home?
No, sir. Three Furs is north and west of here. I was with Duke Phelan's company in the south, and I'm headed home.
I see. A fighter, are you?
Pox nodded.
Are you a guardsman, too?
No. I've known those who were.
We don't think much of brawling here.
Pox flushed. I'm not a brawler, sir.
Good. Just a moment. Severi? Severiana?
At his call, a short, stocky, red-headed girl came out of the courtyard and ran up.
My daughter, Severiana, said the landlord. Severi, this is Poxenarian, who will be staying this night. This is her horse.
He glanced at Pox. Her name's Star, said Pox. She's gentle.
Severi will take her to the stable, said Hebbenford. If you'd like to see your room?
If you don't mind, sir, said Pox. I'll just give Star a rub down first, and check her hooves. She's come a long way over rocks.
Very well. Severi will help you. When you come in, I'll take you to your room.
Come on, this way, said Severi. Pox followed. The walled courtyard was large, paved in flat slabs of gray stone. A flock of red and black hens scratched and pecked in the entrance of the stable that ran along one side. A black cock with gold on his throat and a green tail stood atop the dung heap. Along other sides of the courtyard were barns full of hay and an open shed with two wagons and a cart beneath it. Severi led Pox to a box stall big enough for a war horse. All the stalls were big.
I can rub her down, Severi offered. You're paying for grooming.
Pox smiled at the child.
I want to check her and make sure she hasn't hurt her hooves on the rocks. If you want to rub her down...
Severi nodded.
Surely. She'll be easier than the big horses, and I do them. Do you want her to have grain, or would a mash be better?
A mash would be good for her, if it's not too much trouble.
I'll put one on, then come back and start on her. If you want water to work on her feet, here's a bucket, and the well is out there.
Severi jerked her head toward the courtyard. When Severi had gone, Pox untied the bundles from the saddle and lifted them down. Star sighed. Poor pony, said Pox. That was a load. Here now.